The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the new year, which brings with it new opportunities. We pray, God, that you would just open our hearts and minds to hear your word. Speak to us. For some of us, it's going to be a new challenge. For some of us, it's going to be uncomfortable. But God, many times you find us in places, and comfort is the last thing that sometimes you want from us. You want us to be challenged, to push, to trust you, to go farther in our walk with you. God, I pray that you'd lead us to do that. In your name we pray. Amen.
After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
About a month ago, right before Christmas, we started this new series called Come to Worship, taken just right directly out of that verse there about the wise men coming. Matthew 12, 1 and 2 is the foundation for this series. And my hope and prayer as one of the pastors here is that we as a body of believers would understand the importance and depth of worship, that we are created to be worshipers. Worship is not to be just something we do. It's who we are. And worship takes on more than just the form of singing and raising hands. It's how we live our everyday life. We've been looking each week in this series of ways that we can worship. And today, we're going to go a little deeper in our study. This is all leading us to a series that I'm very excited about that we'll kick off on February 11th. That's our anniversary Sunday when our church officially turns 7 or 8. One of those. We planted in 11. This church was birthed in 2011, so we are going to be 7. Oh, that rhymed. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So on that day, we're kicking off a series called 40 Days of Prayer, and we'll be preaching from God's Word, diving in the importance and the depth of prayer, developing within us the spiritual habit of praying. How many of you are nervous to pray aloud at times? How many of you are unsure, like, what do you even say? I don't even know how to pray. You don't have to raise your hand. A lot of us are affected by a lot of things when it comes to prayer, but prayer is one of the most essential spiritual disciplines that we should have. It's the way we communicate and God communicates with us. And so we're going to do a 40-day dive into a series called 40 Days of Prayer. And it's going to launch right off of our worship series, because worship is not just, again, what we do with our mouth or our hands. It's who we are. It's how we live. It's how we spend our lives. It's how we pray. It's how we spend time in God's Word. And I want to encourage you to get ready for that series. A deep dive. If you're like started this new year saying, you know, I need to get physically fit, my encouragement is that you would take the same approach and attitude to getting spiritually fit. And you would take this challenge. We're going to start February 11th. We're going to go all the way through Easter. We're going to provide a journal, a daily journal for each and every one of you that would like one, that will have daily readings, daily prayers to pray. Our small groups, if you're not a part of one, I want to encourage you, use this time to test drive a small group. We're going to do an 8-week series in our small groups where you're going to dive deeper into what we're studying on Sundays. And I just want to encourage you, hopefully we'll have some new groups start as well, or you can join some existing groups that are in place. It's going to be a great time for our church. A 40-day of prayer series. So that's coming. Before we get there, though, let's dive a little deeper in what does it mean to worship. In Matthew chapter 2, again, looking at our foundational verse, it says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem and Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, which means wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked around, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose have what? We have come to worship him. Now, a couple things you need to know. First of all, the wise men didn't show up like a lot of us sing about in our Christmas carols or talk about in our Christmas stories. It took them 2 years to get there. When the star shone in the east and the angels appeared to the shepherds, these wise men were 900 miles away. Modern day Iran, okay? And they traveled from, actually in Persia, they traveled from Persia to modern day Iran, 900 miles. It's like you deciding to go rent a camel and riding to Miami. Okay, it's going to take you a little while. It took them about 2 years. Jesus was about 2 years old when they showed up. Actually, a lot of people say, I thought Jesus was born in a manger. Why does that say house? Did you notice that in the verse? By then, they had found a place to live, guys. 2 years old, they were living in a house, okay? They came to worship him. Now, when they arrived in town, these were some astute men. They were wise. They had people groups that were probably traveling with them. We know they brought how many gifts? Three gifts are named. And we know there were how many wise men? The Bible doesn't tell us. There could have been 20. There could have been two. Could have been one guy with a bunch of gifts, okay? We have no idea. Actually, it says wise men, so it is plural, so it was at least two. But we know that they brought gifts. And they brought three gifts. When they got to town, they were asking around, where is this king of the Jews? There was a king in town. His name was Herod. He was an evil king. And when he heard these other guys were looking for another king, he felt threatened. And he was like, I got to figure out what's going on. I need to take this other king out. If there really is a king, we can't have a second king here. And so he called for the wise men to come to him. And he was like, okay, guys, hey, I heard you're here to worship a king. I want to worship him too. When you find him, tell me where he is, so I can worship him too, okay? And they took off. They went their own way. They never went back to Herod. Herod freaked out, and he ended up putting out a decree for all baby boys, 2 years old and younger in that area, to be killed. Thankfully, Jesus, with Joseph and Mary, they hightailed it down to Egypt for that season, and Jesus' life was spared. But let's see what happened. Verse 9. After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen, it rose and went ahead of them until they stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they were, say it with me, overjoyed. They weren't overjoyed when they saw Jesus. They were overjoyed when they saw the star. At the beginning of their 900-mile journey, they were, oh, man, we have to go 900 miles. That isn't what they were at all. The Greek, there's four different words here that are translated, and it's hard to put in exact English because it kind of is, it's like really big, humongous, big joy. It's in some translations it says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Rejoiced with great joy, okay? That's like really, really, really happy, okay? And they were excited about it. They had joy pouring out of their pores. They people saw them and were like, there is something great going on. And they had joy. This kind of joy is different than happiness that many of us try to pursue. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nobody told me in the first service, isn't that called something? Aren't we like promised as American citizens, like life? What? Inalienable rights? Okay, yes, those are our rights, okay? And a lot of us, unfortunately, we think happiness is something that it really isn't. We're like, you know what, I'm promised happiness as an American citizen, and you're not making me happy, so I'm finding a new spouse. Hello? That's the kind of happiness that we think we're entitled to. And joy is something very different. Joy is being filled with joy and peace and happiness, even when things aren't going right. Joy is knowing that there's something, you have a sign of something that's to come that you can put your hope and trust in. The wise men saw the star, and they were overjoyed because they knew what was to come. And many of us, in our family, there's a phrase that's become popular. It's called fix your face. All right, you think. happy? Well, tell your face that. And some of you need to be told that this morning, okay? I'm just saying. Fix your face, okay? We as believers in Jesus Christ, we have every reason to be full of joy. We have a Savior. We have somebody who's forgiven us. We have somebody who took our sins upon themselves. Jesus died to set us free. We have every reason to be full of joy because we have hope in what is to come. These wise men had hope in what was to come. They saw the star and they were overjoyed. And they traveled those 900 miles. And when they arrived, on coming to the house, it says, Jesus' house, verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. How did they worship? Did they break out the praise band and start singing? What did they do to worship? Look at these words. They bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened up their treasures and presented him with what? Gifts. They brought gifts. This was their form of worship. They were coming and bowing down to him. We're going to talk about bowing down next week. What does that mean, to bow down? Is it just a physical thing, or is there more to it? They bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened up their treasures and they gave him these gifts. And some theologians believe that these gifts all had meaning, significant meaning. They presented to him gold, a representation and a symbol of his kingship. This child was born King of Kings. He was given gold. He was given frankincense. This was often something used by priests in the temple. And this was a symbol of his priestly role, that he would be our great priest. And he was given myrrh. Myrrh was often used in burials to keep a body from decaying and smelling bad. Why would you give a newborn baby that? Jesus was born with one reason. He came to die for us. It's a symbol of the death that he would take in our place. And they brought gifts as an act of worship. So many of us, we worship through singing, through playing instruments. Many of us, we worship through praying. We are also to worship by giving gifts. Now, you might be sitting here next to someone you love this morning, and you just went through Christmas. How many of you bought a loved one a gift this past Christmas? Some of you are still needing to raise those hands. You need to get busy, guys. In our family, we do have a couple rules, which I tend to break. One of the rules is, you know, Brandy and I, my wife, we're like, yeah, let's buy for the kids this year, and we don't have to buy as much for each other or not at all. But I always break it, and I bought her stuff. Why? Because I love her. And I bought gifts that my wife wasn't aware of, which caused its own weird fight on Christmas. Why didn't you tell me you were buying the girls that? And I love them. I wanted to buy them some stuff. We buy gifts and we give gifts because we love. We give gifts because we want to honor. We give gifts because we've been given gifts. How do you love? How do you show love? Throughout history, God has been a gift-giving God. Every perfect gift that we have in our life is from the Father above. And God gives. Actually, Romans chapter 5:8 says this. He doesn't just give to those who are deserving of gifts. He doesn't just give to those who worship him. In Romans 5:8, it says that God demonstrates his own love for us. And while we were still sinners, while we were his enemies, while we weren't even a part of his family, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift ever. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but instead have everlasting life with him. God gives the gift of salvation. He gives the gift of peace. He gives the gift of mercy. He gives the gift of forgiveness. He is a great God. And because of his love and his gifts for us, our only response should be to worship him in return. And one of the ways we worship is by giving back, by giving our own gifts. So some of you are here this morning and you're like, well, I decided to start the year off on the right foot and came to church. But why are you teaching on giving? Every time I come to church, they're always talking about giving. I know it can seem that way. But I want you to know that God first gave. And he loves each and every one of us. And the Bible teaches that you can't outgive God. Now, I'm not telling you that if you give God today, you know, X, Y, Z, that next week you'll have a Ferrari. I'm not into that kind of giving, and the Bible doesn't teach that kind of giving. But the Bible does say that we can put God to the test. And we're going to get that to that in a minute. When I was going off to college, my dad gave me a Bible. I wish I still had that Bible. It had a really special note written in the front from my dad. But one of my dogs decided he wanted the Bible, and he ate it. And but in the front of that Bible, along with the great things my dad shared with me, he wrote these words copied from this verse, Proverbs 3, 5 and following. And it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Today, this morning, you may be sitting here and saying, I just came through Christmas and you're talking about giving. I just gave all I could and I have the credit card debt to prove it. How can you expect me to give? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but instead fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, there are some verses in our culture that make it on t-shirts and coffee cups, and this is one of those passages, but a lot of people don't know the very next following couple verses. I want to read them for us this morning because they fit exactly what we're talking about. I'm challenging you to become a worshiper through giving. Giving of gifts, giving of your time, giving of your talent, giving of your treasure. And for some of you, that's scary. For some of you, you already feel pushed to the max. You're already giving too much. Trust in the Lord. In verse 9, it says honor, which is another word for worship. Honor the Lord. Worship the Lord with your what? Not just by coming to church, but with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your property. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with the things you've been blessed with. He goes on and it says, with the first fruits of all your crops. You know, this was written at a time and day where most everybody had crops, and they were encouraged to bring the first fruits, the first part of their harvest, their first part of their crops into the storehouse. They were honored. I mean, encouraged to honor God in that way. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In the book of Malachi, it says, bring all of your crops into the storehouse. Test the Lord in this and see that your barns will not be filled to overflowing. In the Old Testament, the word for first fruits or tithe was ma'aser, which means a tenth. If you've been through Financial Peace University, we've run that class a couple times. Dave Ramsey teaches it basically this simple. If you had 10 $1 bills, you take your first dollar and you put it aside into savings for your future. And you allow that to build up and earn interest and set aside savings for yourself. The second dollar, you set aside and you give it to God. And you learn to live off the eight. And that's the encouragement. And some of you are like, I don't know how to make that work. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in him and he will make your path straight. I remember one of the first times, and I think I told this just a couple months ago for some reason. It was in another talk. But I remember I was sitting in a church, sitting about where right where you guys are right there. And I was most excited that Sunday because of where we were going after church. We were going to the flea market. And I had been mowing lawns that season. I had been saving up, and I wanted a skateboard. And the skateboard was $20, and I had saved up $20. I wanted a big, cool, Chris $20 bill, so I brought that $20 bill to church, and I was looking at it while the pastor was teaching, and he started teaching on tithing, and I'm like, why are you doing this today? And as we're sitting there, I'm thinking and daydreaming about the skateboard I'm going to buy, and the message kept going on, and the challenge kept hitting my heart, like I'm supposed to tithe of this, but this $20 I need, because we're going to the flea market today. Okay, God, I'll tithe next time. I'll make it up to you. And we're sitting there, and it starts weighing on me. And then in my mind, I justify it, and I'm like, you know what? It's a 20. It'd be different if it was a 10 and a 5 and 5 ones. I could give too easily, but it's a 20. So God, you understand, I've only got a 20. I'll tithe later. Well, a couple minutes later, my dad reaches over with a 10, a 5, and 5 ones. I didn't even, I hate it when God does stuff like that. And I'm sitting there now, just having exchanged my 20 for the 20. And I tithed. I gave 10%. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I'll at least have fun looking and I'll pick out the skateboard. And next time we go, I'll be ready. I'll buy it then. So we get to the flea market and the skateboard guy's not there. He's not even there. The place where he's set up, it's vacant. There's nothing. And so I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird. Okay, God, I guess you knew that. And I'm learning this all as a junior in high school. And I'm like, okay, well, let me go to my second favorite table. And that was the guy with all the swords and knives and Chinese stars. And so I went over to that table. And I'm like, I've got 18 left. And there's a Chinese star that looks really cool. It's only $3. I can buy the Chinese star. I'll have 15. And I'll make easily $5 this week. I'll get the skateboard next week. Awesome. I'm getting to leave with something anyway. So I buy the Chinese star and I'm like, okay, this is cool. So on our way out, leaving the flea market, the skateboard guy shows up and he's setting up. I'm like, oh man, oh, I didn't have 20 in the first place. So my parents are looking at rugs or something stupid. And so I walk over to the skateboards and I'm like, I'm going to pick out the skateboard I want for next week. And so I'm like narrowing it down. I've got two or three picked out. And the guy comes over and goes, which one you taking? And I was like, well, I really like this one, but I'm going to have to do it next week. And he said, why? And I said, well, I only have 15. And he said, you can have a 15. What? So that day, God blessed me with the Chinese star and a skateboard. Trust not, I know it's silly, but that story showed me. And time again since then, our family has been in desperate times of need, and God has shown up every time. You cannot outgive God. And I'm not trying to teach some kind of weird prosperity gospel here. I do not believe that you're struggling because you're not giving. There are tons of people walking strong lives of faith, giving to God, and it's still difficult. But God says, continue to trust me. We worship God with our wealth. We worship God by giving. They came and they bowed down and they worshiped him and gave him gifts. And my encouragement to us this morning is that we would be a people that learn to worship him in every area of our life. And that also involves our giving. I'm very excited to share with you that I love this church for many reasons. But one of the main reasons is because I believe this church is full of a ton of people that like to give. Many of you graciously and generously give to things that we do as a church, as a body. We've made impacts in our community that make other people notice. We have people outside of our, that don't even live in our town, that give to what we're doing because they believe in what we're doing. There's a lady who over the last year has been sending $500 a month. She doesn't even attend our church. Over Christmas, she more than quadrupled that. She doesn't even attend, but she believes in what we're doing. There are organizations out there that get behind us because of the way we adopted and partnered with over 150 families for Christmas. We don't even have 150 families that attend Hope Hill. Because a lot of you make up a family, you know? Get what I'm saying? More than 150 people, but we're making a difference because we're living lives of generosity. We're giving back. We're allowing God to take what he's blessed us with and we're giving it back to Him and asking Him to use it to bless others. And I want us just to grow exceedingly over and abundant what we've done already to allow God to use us in ways we can't even imagine. Today, a lot of you may have been sad to not see Al out there serving you coffee. How many of you noticed Al wasn't out there this morning? Al's normally out there. Al's serving somebody else this morning. This past week, because of a lot of what you were able to do, we were able to get the funds together and package up some of the toys that we were. First of all, we took care of 150 families this year. We also partnered with other churches and blessed them so that they could bless people. And we still had an abundance of blessing, and we sent it to Puerto Rico. Look at these pictures. This team loaded up about 1,000 toys, and a team went through the airport, and we shipped all of these toys along with the people. And that's a city bus there. What city are they in Puerto Rico? Anybody know? Say that again louder. Carolina? That's a city? What she said. Okay? They're there, and that's a city bus. The city allowed them to use that bus. They filled up the bus, and here they are pulling together this team. I think it's the next picture that's going to be, like, awesome. Look at that. What are those guys back there? What are they? Is that Santa Claus? I love this. That's the wise men. Who brought gifts? The wise men brought gifts. These guys, show the next picture. Next, keep going. Look at these. The wise men are going door to door, and look at the smiles on those faces. Because of you being willing to give, because of you being willing to chip in, we are able to do things like this. We believe in not just building a little place for us to come together and have a nice church service, but we are here to impact the world. And by us giving and sharing our resources and giving back to God and worshiping Him through giving, we're able to touch the lives of others in our community and around the world. And my encouragement is that we would learn that we cannot outgive God. And today I want to challenge you. You notice we didn't take an offering today? Anybody notice? Oh yeah, I noticed. We're not done yet. And my encouragement to you today, I'm not trying to force you to do something you're not willing to do. I'm trying to challenge you to worship God. And one way we worship is by giving. In the back, there's a center table with a basket on it. This table here is going to be here with the basket on it. As our worship team closes us in a time of response, I'm going to invite you to come and to remember what Christ did by dying on the cross for us as we take communion. For those of you who haven't been here, there's a basket of bread over there. It's a symbol, the Bible teaches, of Christ's body broken for us. When He went to the cross, the Bible says that He took our sins upon Himself. And He shed His blood that if anybody would put their belief in Him, that He would give them the right to become children of God, that His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins, that though your sins be as scarlet, they will be washed white as snow. And so as you eat of this bread and you dip it in the cup of juice, a symbol of His blood shed, as you receive and remember what He did for us, let us worship by giving back. So as you pass this table or the table in the back, I encourage you to go to the basket and to worship God by giving. For some of you, this might be the first time you'll ever worship in this way. But I encourage you to test God in this, to worship Him, to give out of the blessings that He's blessed you with, and allow Him to show you how He will show up in the midst of your giving. Bigger than that, though, if you're here this morning and you've never given your heart, that's the greatest thing you could ever give God. The Bible says that we're not just supposed to worship Him with our song and with our money and with our gifts, but in Romans 12, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of how much God loves us, in view of how much God has forgiven us, in view of how much God has blessed us, in view of God's mercy, let us offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. For this is your true act of worship." We are created to be worshipers. Let us worship Him. Father God, we love you. We are are so grateful for the love that you demonstrated for us in sending your son. You gave everything for us. And now you invite us to come and to give to you. You invite us to open up our hearts and our lives to receive you so that you can live and give through us. So God, I pray right now for those who are in this room this morning who may have never opened up their hearts to receive you as Savior, that their first thing that they would give would be to give you their heart, to give you their life. If you're here this morning and you want to receive the love and the forgiveness and the life that Jesus wants to give you, then all you have to do is pray with me right now. Pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for the things that I've done that are wrong. Come into my heart and make me new. Teach me. Show me what it means to follow you. Thank you for giving up your life. And now I give you mine. Help me to follow you. And God, I also pray for those in this room who already know you as Lord and Savior. But maybe we're not worshiping you the way we should in every area of our life. God, I pray that you would challenge us to begin to start worshiping you in the way that we give back to you, the way we give to others, the way we give to our church. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing. So God, show us what it means.